23. As you're heading there, just keep one ear open to me. A couple announcements, quick announcements. We are changing our cleaning ministry, improving. We've this year set out to really do an improvement on just all the ministries, just to kind of smooth out some of the rough edges. And one specifically was the cleaning ministry. Again, if you look around, you can see we've got a big, beautiful building here, right? And we are blessed by God to be in here. But as someone who's tried to clean this building by myself, you can't do it. Hallelujah. Not that, not being able to clean it and it be as clean as we'd like it to be. We need helpers. We need volunteers who can help to clean. Now, I know you've heard me make this petition before and bring this to you, but we are switching things up. It's not just going to be a Saturday cleaning thing, though. If you're free on Saturdays, Brother Aaron does come to clean, but it's going to be a weekly cleaning list. So if you volunteer to clean, every week you will be put on a task, and then it will be on you to fulfill that task by Sunday. Does that make sense? So if you come on a Monday night after prayer meeting, you have 15 minutes, you know, 20 minutes to go fulfill your task. You can do it then. And then maybe just Sunday morning, just go and just quickly freshen it up or something like that. Or Wednesday night or any other time of the week. We want it to be accessible to you and easier for you to be able to volunteer and participate, because we know that this takes probably all of us, right? Hallelujah. To participate and be involved in it. So what I'd love for you to do, please, after service, go speak to Aaron. He's the guy in the sound booth. You probably know him. Hallelujah. But if not, just take a glance back there. He's the handsome gentleman with the glasses on. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's also single, by the way. Just going to throw that one in there. Just saying that if you would like to volunteer, please go speak to him. I think now he's hiding behind the computer a little bit, but go speak to him after service and volunteer. I'm going to just tell you, my wife and I, we're volunteering because I've got an extra 15 minutes that I could go and clean after service on Wednesday or Monday or something like that. Now, we're very busy people. I'm sure you are too. But again, if we can find time just to make this happen so that we can have a good, clean house of God when we come to worship. Amen. Hallelujah. It was the responsibility of the children of Israel to clear the path, the road of all debris so that people could get to the city of refuge. Hallelujah. Now, if we use that as an example, we want to make sure that we're cleaning this building so that it's not a hindrance for people trying to take refuge here. Does that make sense? Amen? If they come here and the floors are all messy, they can't focus on what I'm preaching on. And if they go in the bathroom and they're too gross to sit down, they got to go home and use the restroom because they don't want to come to church and have to use the restroom. So we want to make sure that our facilities are clean and that it's not a hindrance to people who are coming in, our guests and our members. All right, God bless you. Let's get into the word. Psalms 107 and verse 23. Going to read a few verses here. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord." I believe, Brother Marty, you quoted this to me last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, this verse. "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." I want you to picture yourself out in the middle of the ocean. The stormy winds begin to come and rock the boat. The waves begin to pick up. So much so that verse 26 says, they mount up to the heaven. Then they go down to the depths. Anybody feel that in your gut? Hallelujah. That up and down of the sea. And it says this, their soul, the soul of these seamen who are on this boat is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, try to get out of it through their own strength, but they stagger like a drunken man. And then they come to the conclusion that they are just at their wit's end. In other words, there's just no answer. No human answer. No further wisdom to be had. No greater knowledge to be acquired that's going to save them from this spot. So they do the one and only thing they possibly can do. Verse 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Amen. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Everybody says he brings us to the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach for just a little while on the safe harbor of Jesus Christ. How about we just praise him right now, like the scripture tells us. Hallelujah. One more time. I know you're tired. You've been doing it. But one more time, let's lift up our voice. Thank you, Jesus, for being our answer, for making a way. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us get here today, even though there was a much that came against us, much that fought us. Us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your wonderful works in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. This verse of scripture speaks of men who are naval men. They are seamen. They travel the waters. No doubt they are likely fishermen. It's possible that they are explorers. But their task, their goal is to go do business in the great waters. They're not hanging out by the shore, is what that means. And I started to just consider this, and again, if I can kind of just paint that picture and get us today where we are imagining ourselves in a boat out in the great water, right? We're so close to it already, praise the Lord. So close to the great Atlantic Ocean. And once you get out on the great Atlantic Ocean, it's no doubt it's even greater than you could ever imagine. I don't know if there's people who've done much on the water, boats, maybe anybody done cruises, hallelujah. Now, come on, that's not really what we're talking about here, but praise God. Yes. Off the East Coast, you would need to travel about 12 nautical miles offshore before you can no longer see the land. 12 nautical miles, which comes out to be approximately 13.8 miles, a little different. But if you were to try to travel from Florida all the way to Africa, maybe you wanted to get all the way to Africa, straight shot from Fort Lauderdale to Dakar, Senegal in Africa is 3,564 nautical miles. So what that means is that's roughly 3,540 nautical miles you'd have to travel in the open sea without seeing land at all. That's quite an intense thing. You weren't thinking that when you went on that cruise, were you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And hey, listen, if everything looked like this, go ahead and throw up that next slide. Everything looked like that, that wouldn't be too bad. I mean, that looks pretty great. Yeah, get out there in the open water, catch some rays, right? I mean, you know, most of you'd be tanning. I'd be hiding from the sun the best I could. If not, I'd probably burst into flames instantly. Hallelujah. That's just the way my flesh is. I instantly go red, then I go pink, then I go straight back to white. That's how my skin tone usually ends up. I don't tan. But, you know, once you get out there, you see that. That's not a bad ordeal. It seems like that might be a pretty decent day, right? Hallelujah. We're right on the water here in Stuart. We got plenty of people going out, and they're enjoying the beautiful weather. But what happens, praise God, when the weather takes a nasty turn? Go ahead and give us that next picture. And all of a sudden, the cool, calm weather and the sea that's just allowing you to float, it becomes violent. Hallelujah. And the storm above begins to come, and the thunder and the lightning. You imagine being out in that water, and the lightning is striking all around you, and the waves growing so large, upwards of 30, 40 feet waves. You'd go up, and then you'd go down, praise God. There's no wonder, as Brother Marty and I came to the conclusion last week, there's no wonder why there's many seamen who find God out on the water. Hallelujah. I think if I was on a boat having to face that, I'd be finding God too. Praise the Lord. I'd like to know that God is with me. But imagine being out there. And today, I'm sure it's much different. We've got radios and we've got the Coast Guard who can fly a helicopter and pick us up and take care of us. But imagine being a seaman back in those days. The seclusion of the rest of the world. Being out there without support or help. The loneliness. Just me and whoever's on this boat. And I better like the people who are on the boat with me. How long would it take to be out there before it steals away your sense of reality? Begin to see things and imagine things. Anybody been on one of a smaller boat that didn't feel like a cruise? A cruise you go and you sleep soundly. You hardly even can tell that it's on water. Anybody been on a boat, though, where you felt it? I remember I was a teenager when I went on my first boat like that. It was somewhat of a cruise, but it was a much smaller cruise, and you could feel it. It was storming, and you felt it up and down. I'm telling you, I felt it for days. I'd go in that night, and I'd close my eyes, and I'd start grabbing my blankets to hold on because I felt like I was rocking back and forth because of the waves. I remember specifically, I ended up laying on the ground because it for some reason was messing with my mind so much. It was only like a 4 or 5 hours I was out on this boat, but it messed with my mind so much that even days after, I felt like I had to lay on the ground just to get the legs back from under me. And you imagine being in that position, trying to find safety. They didn't have engines like we do. They didn't have things that could just get them to the shore easily. They would have to use whatever they had, their oars and paddles and whatever else they could to try to rock that boat and move it. You can see how in the middle of waves like that, not having much control at all, why the Bible says that they would stagger like drunken men. Try to go this way, but then all of a sudden a wave comes and it knocks you and makes you go that way. Try to course correct. How much energy it takes to course correct just to get yourself in the right position to go, but then another wave comes and knocks you in the wrong direction again. Bible says they were at their absolute wit's end. They came to the conclusion, this storm has beaten us. This journey is over. There's no more pretending that we're going to make it out of here. We don't have the solution. We don't have the tools. We don't have the ability. All we really have now is our prayers. I'm here to tell you, if you're down to your wit's end, you're absolutely at the very end of the line, and you've determined this journey is over unless there's a supernatural power that steps in. I'm here to tell you, if you will call out unto the Lord, He will save you. He will save you from the wind. He will save you from the waves. He will help you to get your bearing. Oh, I'm here to just preach a simple message to somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to bring you back into safe harbor, to bring you to a place of security again. But you've got to call on Jesus. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8. Says, I will both lay me down in peace and I will sleep. Why? How could you have such peace? How could you find such comfort in the world that we're living in? With all the temptation out there, with the bad influences, with the nasty voices speaking in to our lives. How could we truly come to a point where we have peace? Come on now, don't you know the Bible tells us that one of the signs of the end times is that men's hearts would fail them. Why? Because they're under such anxiety. They're under such stress. Hallelujah, for a world that moves faster, it seems like we can't get enough done. For a world, hallelujah, that we can travel far, it seems like we just can't go far enough. We're always lacking. lacking, limited. Hallelujah. That's a sign of the end times. And we fall under such pressure, under such weight. All we're trying to do is make this journey, but we just can't because we keep facing obstacle after obstacle, wave after wave. When is it going to get better? When are things going to calm down? I'm here to tell you there's only one solution, and that is you need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Only He can make you dwell in safety. Only the Lord can bring true peace. Only the Lord can bring true comfort. Only the Lord can take you from the open seas to safe harbor. I'm going to speak prophecy to somebody right now. There is an end. Oh, there is an end to this struggle. And the end is Jesus Christ. And He's about to bring you into safe harbor. Would you receive that right now in the name of Jesus? Come on now, you're not always going to have to struggle. Call on Jesus. You're not always going to have to toil. Call on Jesus. You don't always got to spin your wheels. Call on Jesus. You don't always got to row your boat. Call on Jesus. I know it feels like the waves will never end, but it's coming to an end. There is safe harbor in Jesus Christ. Oh, I must see. You're talking about the God. All He had to do was speak to the storm, and the winds obeyed Him. And you think He can't speak one word into your life and calm the raging seas? I feel some boldness coming on. There is power in Jesus' name. He is able to speak into your life today. Hallelujah. There they are, out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is asleep on the boat. I know it seems like you're without help, but your help is there. I know it seems like you're out there by yourself, but you're not. Jesus has been there every step of the way. All He needed was some disciples to come, shake them, and say, Jesus, we perish. We need You to work. We need You to act. We need You to make a way. What does Jesus do? He steps up to the brow of the boat. He looks into the wind and the waves, and He says, peace, be still. There's a reason He said that. He wasn't repeating Himself. You see, because, yes, we need the storm. We need a storm speaker. Hallelujah. But we also need a God that can speak to the waves. When He said peace, He was speaking to the storm. He was declaring those storm clouds, You are not to drop water. You are not to be a conduit of lightning. You are not to bring in extreme weather conditions with wind that would cause the disruption of the sea. I'm here to tell you that not only is God able to speak to the situation, but he's able to speak to the heart that's been rocked like the seas. He's able to speak to the storm, but he's able also to calm your heart. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, he's speaking peace over the storm, but he's telling your heart, be still and know that the Lord is able to make a way.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, the Lord's bringing peace. The Lord's bringing stillness again in your life. Oh, you just got to trust in him. You got to trust in him. They traveled often by boat. The disciples traveled often by boat. Paul traveled often by boat. The Bible tells us that Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. I'd like to point out, he survived them all, or else he couldn't have written about it. 3 times, Paul was shipwrecked. 3 times, that boat. Now, I want you to put yourself in that boat. I want you to be staring at those waves, and I want you to have the fear of knowing there's no one to the left, no one to the right, no one ahead of you, no one behind you. You're in the open seas. You're in the great waters, and you're saying, who is going to save me? There's some people right now, you feel alone. You feel lost. You feel like nobody else understands you. But I'm here to preach to you today. If the Lord could save Paul in 3 shipwrecks, then the Lord can deliver you and the Lord can save you. He is with you in the midst of the great seas. In Acts 27, we see Paul's on a boat. They're about to be shipwrecked. But Paul, crazy, radical Paul, who is currently a prisoner on this boat, he hears a word from the Lord. He sees an angel, and God just tells him, the boat's going to be destroyed, but everybody's going to be okay. Can we make it to where the boat's okay and everybody's okay? Does it have to be one or the other? He says, the boat's not going to survive this trip. He says, but there will be no loss of life, is what Paul says. That thing that we hold on to so desperately because we believe that that is our source of life. It is what's going to protect us. It is what's going to guide us. It's going to help us. I'm here to tell you, even if it's shipwrecked, even if you lose it all, if you've got Jesus, everything's gonna be all right. And you better believe Paul came to safe harbor without a boat.
The boat was shipwrecked, but he was able to make it. Hallelujah. And that's because he had a light. Oh, I'm here to preach to you. There is a lighthouse. Hallelujah. The Lord is shining out and showing us, if you call on my name, I'll bring you to safety. I'll bring you to a place where you can have comfort and rest and peace again. But it's only in the name of Jesus. We might lose the boat, but no lives will be lost. It's because he's going to bring us into safe harbor. Maybe not in the way you think, but he's going to bring you into safe harbor. And church, I'm just going to take a small little detour here, and I'm going to tell you, church, we got to be the lighthouse. Hallelujah, because they're lost out in this world, and they're abandoned out on the great waters, and they are alone, and they are afraid, and those waves are rocking them around, and they can hardly see. There needs to be a church that shines its light and show them where safety's at, and shows them where there's grace, and there's mercy, and there's love. Matthew 5:14, it says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah, they're going to find Jesus. It's going to be because somebody shined their light. Somebody shone the love of God. Hallelujah, and it brought them in to a safe place where they can call on Jesus. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Listen, the Lord didn't light your candle in order to hide you away. He lit your candle so that you can make, that you can show the way. Hallelujah. He lit your candle so that you can show people where they need to go to get safe harbor. He gave you your light so you could show people where they need to go to find peace. Verse 26, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Not glorify you, not praise you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. All that I do, I want it to bring glory to the Lord and not myself. Hallelujah. We've got to be a lighthouse. I felt the Lord give me a specific message to the church today. I've ministered now to many who are struggling with different things, but I do feel the Lord wants me to minister to the church. If you could, throw up that video for me. Let's make sure it works. We didn't get a chance to. This right here. It's okay if you hear it. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's when my brothers and I and my father went into Israel. We took a boat to possibly the very spot where Jesus walked on the water. It was a life-changing event. But you can see all the lands around. Go ahead and play it one more time, brother. You can see the land surrounding the Sea of Galilee. It's not like the open waters. You're in the middle of it. You can see almost every side land. The only area you see it at the end of the video is where there's a path where the water goes out from the Sea of Galilee. Hallelujah. This remarkable event, this an incredible experience. You could literally stand there on that boat and you could look and point and say, that's where Jesus cast a legion of demons out of the man. That's where Jesus preached on Peter's boat. That's where Peter cast off, threw his nets in, and needed another boat to save him, rescue him. It was a life-changing experience to be able to just see all around. But I noticed something while we were there. It was either that evening or it was the next day. We were in the hotel. We were staying on the Sea of Galilee. I walked out of my room and I could see from the balcony of my room the Sea of Galilee, all of that right there. One evening, it started to storm. I'm telling you, it was like it was out of nowhere. The storm came in so quickly. And what I've heard is that because of the circulation of all these mountains, it's created a perfect system to where you don't really recognize or know when the wind and the storm is coming until finally it's just on top of you. That's why we see several times when the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee that all of a sudden a storm comes. Seems like they should have been prepared for this. But it would come with a moment's notice. And it could be so violent that instantly it would cause the waves to become violent and harsh on their boats. And we see the story in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is, and I'm finishing with this point. Jesus has just separated the loaves and the fishes. He's performed one of the greatest miracles known to man. He's fed over 3,000 people with what, 2 loaves, 3 fishes? Thank you. I knew there'd be a smarty pants in the congregation. He just performed the greatest miracle. And the Bible says in Mark 6:45, straightway he constrained, he forcefully, he didn't want to wait. He didn't want to take their time. He didn't want to clean up afterwards. He straightway constrained his disciples, pushing them. You got to get in the boat. You got to go to the other side of the sea. You got to go on the other side. Go to Bethsaida. Push them into the boat. They all got in. All right, Jesus, your turn. Said, no, I'm not going with you this time. I want you to go. Bible says he turned around and he sent away all the people. It was so urgent. He was in the middle of his sermon when he constrained them. But now he sent away all the people, told them all, go home. Go back where you came from. And the Bible says he went up to the mountain to pray. Again, standing on those hills, those mountains, quite like this, you could see everything happening in the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Jesus was. He stood there watching and praying. The Bible says when the evening was come that the ship was in the midst of the sea. Jesus was standing still up on that mountain. I need a couple volunteers. I got a couple people. All right, Brother Devontae, why don't you come on up? Brother Bob? Here, you sit up front, my friend. Devontae, you sit. All right. Now I want you guys just to start rowing. There you go. You guys are not in unison at all. This boat is upside down right now. There you go. Down and up. There you go. There you go. There you go. Go ahead, Bob. Set the tone. There you go. They're rowing. But it's the evening, and out of nowhere, the wind begins to pick up, and the seas begin to again grow violent. The waves begin to knock on the boat, and the Bible says, look at this, Mark chapter 6, and we're going to look from different gospels, but Mark chapter 6, you guys just keep on rowing, all right? You got to make it all the way to the other side. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, and he, Jesus, saw them toiling in rowing. That's it. Now, I want you to act. I mean, it's getting hard to row. You're trying to get somewhere, but you just can't get there. And here's Jesus standing on the mountain. Jesus is watching you. Hang on, Brother Bob. Jesus is watching as you're struggling because you know Jesus told you you got to get on the other side. But things keep coming against you. And things keep fighting against you. And things keep coming against your family. Oh, HPPC, I feel a word from the Lord. And maybe this is for me. Maybe this isn't for any of you guys. You just got to listen to me talk. But the Lord spoke to me this morning, and the Lord says, I've been watching you toil. I've been watching you struggle. I've been watching you fight the waves. I've been watching you fight the storm. I know it's been tough. I know you're worn out. I know you're struggling. But I see your struggle, and I'm on my way. Oh, how about we stand right now? They're still struggling. They're still having a hard time. That's all right. You can be seated. You can keep rowing. Everybody else will stand. Here comes Jesus. The winds haven't stopped. The rains haven't stopped. But here comes Jesus walking on the water. And here's the thing. They didn't need to make it to the shore to find safe harbor. Peter says, let me come out there, God. Peter stepped out of the boat, and even though it was raining, and even though the wind was picking up, and the waves were rocking back and forth, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the safe harbor. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your joy. Listen, even if you're in the middle of a storm right now, get your eyes locked on Jesus, and you will not sink. You will not go down. You will not be destroyed. Get your eyes locked. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't let the winds distract you. Don't turn away. Come on now. I need to minister to somebody else right now. Don't let the winds distract you. Don't let the rains distract you. Don't let the other people distract you. Don't let your job distract you. Don't let sin distract you. Don't let temptation distract you. Keep your eyes. It's all right. Peace, peace. You don't have to row. You don't have to row. Because I want you to see this. Jesus comes and gets in the boat. Look what the Bible, the description Bible tells us in the book of Luke, what happens. Go ahead, Aaron, throw that next verse. I hope I put it on there. Oh, John, I apologize. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately. They'd been toiling. They've been rowing. They've been fighting. They've been using their own strength. They've been using their own intelligence. They've been using their own knowledge, and it's done nothing but worn them out. But once they received Jesus into the ship, they were immediately at safe harbor on the land. No more rowing, no more toiling, no more fighting. Hallelujah, you're safe now. You're in his hands now. You're protected by Jesus now. Come on now, somebody needs to receive him into the boat. Receive them into the boat. Lord, come on with me. Church, we just got to receive them into the boat. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because he ain't done yet. And it's not going to be our working. It's not going to be our toiling. It's not going to be our rowing. Hallelujah. It's going to be in the Lord's timing. You just got to let them get in the boat. You just got to keep them on the ship. Come on now. Somebody needs to give the oars to Jesus. And let him bring you to shore. Anybody need to come to the shore?